They began the return to Thebes with an escort of 50 fighting chariots led by Hilto. Under strict orders, the column rode first to the oasis of Bos. Fast horsemen had been sent ahead to Thebes, and Lord Narja, the regent of Egypt, had come out from the city to the oasis to meet the young pharaoh Nefer-Seti. On the fifth day, the squadron of chariots, dusty and battered from months in the wilderness, trotted into the oasis. As they entered the shade of the canopy of the palm groves, a full regiment of the Bahat guards formed up in parade order to welcome them. The troopers had sheathed their weapons and instead carried palm fronds, which they waved as they chanted the anthem to their monarch. Seti, mighty bull, beloved of truth, he of the two ladies, Nechbet and Wajet, fiery serpent, great of strength, Horus of gold, who makes hearts live, he of the sedge and the bee, Seti, son of Ra, god of the sun, living for ever and eternity. Nefer stood between Hilto and Taita on the footplate of the leading chariot. His clothing was ragged and dusty, and his thick locks were matted with dust. The sun had burnt his face and arms to the colour of ripe almonds. Hilto drove the chariot down the long alley formed by the soldiers, and Nefer smiled shyly at those men in the ranks whom he recognized, and they cheered him spontaneously. They had loved his father, and now they loved him. In the centre of the oasis, an assembly of multicoloured tents had been set up beside the well. In the front of the royal tent, Lord Narja, surrounded by a concourse of courtiers, nobles and priests, waited to receive the king. He was mighty in the power and grace of regency, glistening and beautiful in gold and precious stones, redolent of sweet unguents and fragrant lotions. On his either hand stood Heseret and Merikara, the princesses of the royal house of Temosa. Their faces were pearly white with makeup, eyes huge and dark with kohl. Even the nipples of their bare breasts had been rouged red as ripe cherries. The horsehair wigs were too large for their pretty heads, and their skirts were so heavy with pearls and gold thread that they stood as stiffly as carved dolls. As Hilto brought the chariot to a halt in front of him, Lord Narja stepped forward and lifted down the dirty boy. Nefer had not had an opportunity to bathe since leaving Jebel Nagara, and he smelt like a billy goat. "As your regent, I salute you, Pharaoh. I am your foot servant and your loyal companion. May you live 1,000 years," he intoned so that all those in the closest ranks could hear every word. Lord Narja led Nefer by the hand to the dais of council, carved from precious black woods from the interior of the African continent, and inlaid with ivory and mother of pearl. He placed him upon it, then went down on his knees and kissed Nefer's grazed and grubby feet without any sign of repugnance. The toenails were torn and caked with black dirt. He stood up and lifted Nefer to his feet, stripping away the torn kilt so the pharaonic tattoo on his thigh was revealed. He turned the boy slowly so that everyone in the audience could see it clearly. "Hail, Pharaoh Seti! God and son of the gods, behold thy sign. Look upon this mark, all the nations of the earth, and tremble at the power of the king. Bow down before the might of Pharaoh." A great shout went up from the soldiers and the courtiers packed round the dais. "Hail Pharaoh! In his might and majesty may he live for ever." Narja led the princesses forward, and they knelt before their brother to take their oaths of allegiance. Their voices were inaudible until Merikara, the younger, could contain herself no longer and sprang up onto the dais in a flurry of jewelled skirts. She rushed to her brother. "Nefer," she squealed, "I've missed you so very much. I thought you were dead." Nefer returned her embrace awkwardly until she pulled away and whispered, "You smell terribly," and giggled. Lord Narja signalled for one of the royal nursemaids to take the child away. Then, one by one, the mighty lords of Egypt, headed by the members of the council, came forward to take the loyal oath. There was one uncomfortable moment when Pharaoh surveyed the gathering and asked in a clear, penetrating voice, "Where is my good uncle Kratos? He, of all people, should have been here to greet me." Tala mumbled a placatory explanation. "Lord Kratos is unable to attend. It shall be explained later to your majesty." Tala, old and feeble, was now president of the Council of State. He had become Naja's creature. The ceremony ended when Lord Naja clapped his hands. "Pharaoh has come on a long journey. He must rest before leading the procession into the city." He took Nefer's hand in a proprietary manner and led him into the royal tent, whose spacious galleries and saloons could have accommodated a full regiment of the guards. There, the master of the wardrobe, the perfumers and the hairdressers, the keepers of the royal jewels, the valets, manicurists, massers, and the maids of the bath were waiting to receive him. Taita had determined to stay at the boy's side where he could protect him. He tried unobtrusively to include himself among this entourage, but his lanky frame and head of silver hair marked him out, while his fame and reputation were such that he could never have passed inconspicuously anywhere in the land. Almost immediately, a sergeant-at-arms confronted him. "Greetings, Lord Taita. May the gods always smile upon you." Although Pharaoh Temoza had elevated him to the nobility on the day he had sealed the deed of his manumission, Taita still felt awkward at being addressed by his title. "The regent of Egypt has sent for you." He looked down at the Magus's filthy clothes and dusty old sandals. "It would be as well not to attend him in your present state of dress. Lord Naja detests uncouth odours and unwashed apparel."